family are here, and we just take time to welcome you to Destiny Church, and we're excited about what God's going to do. We're in the middle of a series and getting toward the end of the series called Living a Life of Worship. Living a Life of Worship. And I will tell you that it is changing our lives. I can tell through the testimony of many of you who have shared with me personally what God's speaking to you over these last 8 or 9 weeks and what God's been doing in your life. I can tell you by the Spirit, I can see it growing in you. I can see by the anticipation that you came in this morning ready to worship the Lord, anticipating what He was going to do. And I tell you that it's such an exciting thing to see that we are growing in our life of worship. We're having a deeper understanding of what happens in worship. We begin to talk about that we are people who worship. And that you may say today that I'm not a worshiper, but that is a false statement. That every one of us are worshipers. The question is, what do we worship? What will we choose to worship in our life? Because we will worship things in our life. We will worship. That's who we are. That's the DNA of who we are. Whether it be our job or activities or hobbies or passions. We are going to be passionate about certain things. And we are going to worship certain things. And the question is, what do you choose to worship? And we are choosing to put God first in our life. We are choosing to say that, God, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to learn to worship you. And worship just doesn't happen on Sunday morning, but it happens throughout every day of my life. And we talked about the battle for our worship and the spiritual battle that goes along with worshiping the Lord and the principalities and the darkness that we are fighting through our worship in our everyday life. We talked about choosing to worship Him. Last week we talked about this time, the corporate worship time, what it means to worship God corporately and how we come ready, prepared to worship, participating in worship. And then we go out and we practice what we're learning. And we have just come today. My heart's full. And I want to talk to you about this thought, how to express your love to God. How to express your love to God. This is a big thing because we know that when we express our love to God, what are we doing? We are worshiping. When we express our love to God throughout our lifestyle, through the things we do every day in our life, not just what happens here on Sunday morning, but tomorrow morning when I get up to go to work, the way that I live my life, when I express my love to God, I am walking in worship. I am learning to worship Him. Today I want to let you know that you are the essence of God's creation. That He created you to have a love affair with you and me. That we were created to have a love affair with God. That's why we were created. We are the object of His affection. We are the apple of His eye. We are the jewel of His heart. Matthew 22 says this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with part of your mind. No? With what? All. With all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandments. This is the first and the greatest. So this is the first thing we were commanded to do. And always the first thing, He said, this is the greatest command you were created to do. So we have all these other things that we learn as Christians, and discipleship and growing and maturing in the faith. But it all comes down to worship. It all comes down to this. I was created to love God with everything within me. Many times I have used the pie as an example that we come as Christians to give God a piece of our pie. And we see Sunday in worship with just one slice of the pie. We have our career, we have our marriage, our children, our hobbies, and then church and worship is one slice. And we take that slice out and give it to God. Like we're so proud. Look, God, I've got you your slice of worship. See, I'm balanced in my worship. And God says, I don't want a piece of the pie. He says, I want to be the whipped cream all around it. I want to be the ingredients. I want to be the crust. I want to be the whole pie. I want everything. I want your heart. I want your marriage. I want your education. I want your job. I want your finances. I want your children. I want your dreams, your fears. I want it all. And I should encompass every part of your life. And learning to worship the Lord as a lifestyle is learning to love Him with everything that we do. And we have been created to worship the Lord. It is my destiny to worship the Lord. It is your destiny to learn that I was created to worship the Lord all through every day that I live this life and walk this life. Maybe today you have been raised in a very non-expressive home. Maybe today you were raised in a home that didn't show love. Maybe you're raised in around people who didn't express love in a very good fashion, or just didn't. Maybe they loved you and you knew they loved you, but they didn't express it with their words or actions. And maybe you come from neglectful homes. Maybe you come from hurtful homes. Maybe you come from places where they just didn't know. And today I want to say to you that those things do have a factor when it comes to expressing our love to God, because if we never learn to express our love for God, we also have a hard time expressing our love for each other. And today, as I put this message together, I have put together a message on how we can express our love to you, but it also can double for a marriage. I can just change the title, How to Love Your Spouse, because this really is that kind of message. Not only do we learn how to love God, but it's also the same principles that will help us grow in our relationship with each other, and especially your spouse. And so today, as you take notes, this message is on us learning how to express our love to God. But you can also learn a lot about expressing your love to your spouse in this message also. There's a book out that's called 10,000 Ways to Express Your Love. And I thought today we'd cover about half of that. So, no, I'm just playing today. I want to give you a few points though today on how we can express our love in a practical way. How do we express our love to God? Isn't that something that we have a hard time doing? We see this God of the universe, and he's out there, and we think we kind of see him as just, you know, omnipresent God. He's kind of like everywhere, but he's, you know, how is he really with me if he's everywhere? And we have all these questions in our mind, and we ask these questions. So how do I really express this God who has everything, who is the creator of me? How do I really express that I love him and he get it? How do I really express that I love him and know that I move his heart? And so today I want to give you some practical ways of worship and how we express we love to him. Number one, we just completed this, and we're really good at this at Destiny Church. Number one, we do this by singing to him, by singing to him. This is such an important thing that you and I realize. This is why we sing a lot of songs at Destiny Church, because when we sing to the Lord, we are expressing our love for him. We are expressing that we love you, God. And there's something that happens when we express our love to God. It's a love affair that's been going on. Do you realize there's been more love songs written about Jesus, about God, than any other subject in the world? I mean, the second place doesn't even come close to comparing. In the last 2,000 years, there's been more songs written about our love for our God. Why is it? Because God has created you and I to express our love to him. Not only through other ways, but number one, through singing to him. It's a love affair. How many know music goes hand in hand with love? Let's read what Psalms 147:7 says. Sing out loud your thanks to him. Sing praises to our God. Now, some of you here today and you say, wow, that's good. I need to sing out loud. But, Pastor, I can't sing. I just can't carry a tune in the bucket. And you're wanting me to sing out loud? And let me say to you, the Bible knew that you would say that. And so he also goes on to say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And as some of us, when we sing, maybe our singing sounds a little more like noise. And I say, that's okay, as long as you're joyful when you do it, okay? It's not about you being on key. We'll allow the skilled musicians and singers, the ones that we have, we'll allow them to lead us into worship. But it's not just their job to worship. It's our job also to sing to the Lord. And we'll sing, and some of us it may be on key, and some of us it may be a little off key. And so some of us it may just be a joyful noise, okay? But that's okay, because you're obedient and singing out of your heart. Why is it that songs and music go hand in hand with love? I mean, as soon as you start, remember when you were a kid and when you were dating somebody for the first time? What happened? You had your song. I mean, you had your song. That song come on the radio and you're like, shh, 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 shh. Some of you had that album, you know, that thing they used to make back then, it was this big, and you put your needle on, you know. Some of you had the 8-track, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you 80s people were really high-tech. You had the cassette. You remember that? Yes. And nowadays, of course, we have our MP3 players, computers, and CDs, and all that goes along with that. But music goes hand-in-hand, and we download our favorite songs. You know, some of us guys in Body for God, we were talking the other day about, in our small group time together, we're talking about expressing our love to our wife, and we're talking about ideas about keeping romance alive. And some of the guys talked about how they made a CD for their wife and how they put some of the songs when they first dated and some of the songs that make them think of them. And, you know, why is that? Because music goes hand in hand with love. When you hear songs on the radio, they remind you of, you know, of your love. I remember when we were dating, we heard the song, oh, you know. I remember I was skating, couple skate only in seventh grade. I mean, your mind goes back to all these things, you know. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. And there's something that goes hand in hand with music, and there's something that God has made into our DNA that express our love, even in music. And that's why there's so much music is so with love music and music. It's a top seller. Why? Because it just goes hand in hand. And God has made you and I to sing to him. It's a way of expression, our worship, but only our love to him. That's why it's so important that we don't rush through our music, that we give adequate time for you to sing and express your love to God. And we do that here, worship. We worship corporately together, and we're going to sing to God. It's a way of expressing our love. Number two, by talking to him. Communication with him. This is a big thing. We communicate to God of the universe. I will tell you this right now, that I can sometimes be a slow loner, but learner. But this goes hand, loner and learner goes hand in hand with what I'm talking about here, because I realize this, that when I do not communicate with my wife, that we don't grow in our relationship. I become a loner. But when I communicate to her, that we draw close together, okay? And when I've learned this over time, that it takes communication is the key ingredient when it comes to keeping a marriage together, when it comes to growing your marriage, when it comes to keeping that bond tight, that communication is such a big part of that between a husband and a wife, that we communicate on a daily basis or as often as possible, and you have heart-to-heart conversation and you communicate. It is the foundation that keeps the glue and keeps the marriage working strong. The same as it is for you and I in our relationship with God, that communication is the glue that keeps us glued to God's heart, that we have to communicate to him. Now, how many know that if I got to my wife and said, honey, we were in college, I said, honey, I love you. You're so beautiful. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And I proposed to her and asked her to marry me. And I gave her the ring, and she says, oh, yes. And I said, but there's this one thing that, you know, I don't think we ought to communicate. I don't think we ought to talk, but, you know, we'll just come home and do our thing. What would she do? What? Here's your ring back. Forget it, mister. I don't care how good you look. You ain't getting this ring. I don't care. It ain't happening. I don't care how much money you have. It ain't happening. I don't care what. Communication is such an important thing. The same with God. Our communication keeps us a line open with God of growing and worship with him. What do I communicate about to God? You communicate what you're going through in your life. You remember when you was on the phone, when you was a teenager, when you were trying to meet somebody and you would try to talk to that person and get to know them? What would you do? You talk for hours on the phone. Get out of my room. I'm trying to do something here, man. And you're talking to that person, you know. And you could just spend all day talking to that person. Why? Because you were creating a love affair in your heart with them. You had this crush on them. You wanted to learn who they were. And so you would talk for hours, and, you know, things happen. Why? Because you want to communicate to build that relationship. We don't change, okay? Communication builds that relationship with God in our life. Psalms 116 says it like this. I love the Lord because he hears me and answers my prayer, because he bends down an ear and he listens. I will pray as long as I have breath. God listens to you. God is listening to you. You got to communicate to him. Listen, your relationship is never standing still. Let me say it again. Your relationship is never standing still. It is either growing or it is decaying. Some of you need to write that down. That's good. I'm going to have to preach that message. Your relationship is either growing or decaying. It's not standing still. And so when I'm communicating to my spouse, when I'm communicating to God, when I'm talking to the Lord, I am growing in my relationship with him. When I'm not communicating to him, what happens? My relationship begins to slowly decay. It begins to take a back. It happens even with our spouse. When we spend time with our spouse, when we're talking to them or communicating to them, we're growing, we're bonding. And when I spend time not talking, communicating, this communication barrier begins to come here, and I slowly find my relationship decaying. And so the question is, do you want to grow in your relationship with God? If so, then you communicate to him every once in a while, right? If I want to grow in my relationship with God, I communicate to him at least once a month, right? No, daily. When I want to grow in my relationship, my wife and I, when we were dating, we were in college, and we would leave for the summer. We lived like 70 miles apart. You know what? I was running up that phone bill. I didn't care. Why? Because I wanted to daily talk to her. Daily, I wanted to see what was going on. I wanted to hear her voice. I wanted to, and our relationship continued to grow because we were communicating daily. It's an important thing. Number three, by listening to him. How many know that we got to be good listeners? We got to be good listeners. And I have learned this one thing in being a counselor, as a pastor, as you counsel people, is that I'm learning to be a good listener. And that's a big key in being a good counselor, is being a good listener, because people want to be heard. And your spouse wants to be heard. They want you to communicate to them, but they also want to communicate back to you. Well, it's no different with God. God wants you to hear his voice. God wants you to listen to what he's saying. And some of us here, we got this prayer thing down really good. God, I need you today. I'm on my way to work. And God, my kids are driving me crazy. And I need this. I need that. And God, my health. And this is going on. All right. See ya. We get out of the car and we spend the whole time praying all the way to work. And we told God what we wanted. And we told God what we're going through. But how many of us stop and listen to God's answer? How many stop and listen to God's voice in our life? That as we worship the Lord, not only is it valuing saying, God, I want to share with you what I'm going through every day in my life. Not only am I sharing with you my heart's desires. Not only am I sharing with you things in my life that I'm going through, but also, God, I want to hear from you. Speak to my heart, God. What do you have to say to me? If I always talk to my wife but never stop and listen to her, what is she going to do? He doesn't value me. He doesn't value my opinion. He's in the one way in this marriage, and this is going to happen. He never listens to me. I mean, all these things are going to happen up, and it's going to cause friction. It's going to cause us to build up walls between us in our marriage. The same thing happens in our relationship with God. If all I do is tell God, God, I need this, I need this, I need this, and God, I want this, and God, you got to do this. And God's like, if you'll just be still, if you'll just be quiet, and let me speak to your heart. Settle yourself down. Show me that you value what I have to say. See, many of us, God never speaks to me. Just God never talks to me. He talks to other people, but doesn't talk to me. God doesn't love me the way he loves them. Well, how many of us stop to actually listen to his voice? How many of us have not only prayed to him and stopped to God now, God, just guide me today. God, speak to me today. God, I'm listening to you. I'm going to shut my mouth for a while, and God, let you speak to my heart. Let you speak to my spirit. I guarantee you, God is speaking. God is speaking to those who will listen. He will speak to you, and he speaks through people, and he speaks to people. How does God speak to us? Number one, he speaks through his word. I can tell you this, that God can never speak another word to my heart again, and I would have enough just by reading the word of God. The word of God is inspired. Every word in here, scripture teaches, is inspired and breathed by the breath of the Holy Spirit, by God himself. He has inspired the words right here. So I can open up the Bible at any time and read what God wants to say to me. How else does God speak to me? He speaks to me through experiences in my life, that God allows me to go through things in my life to speak to me, to teach me. He speaks to me through tough times, through trials, through hurts in my life, that when I'm going through things, he speaks to me on things I need to change and things I need to improve on. God many times will speak to me through mature Christians who have words of encouragement and things to talk to me and instruction. Let me tell you, not everybody who speaks to you is hearing from God. And when somebody, a mature Christian, speaks to you, your heart will say, you know what, I received that. Or your heart will say, you know what, I don't necessarily know if that's true, okay? And if that person doesn't have any track record of being a person who knows what they're talking about, then you just need to pray about that word that's spoken over your life. But yes, there is people that God can use to speak into your life. He's got leaders. He's got group leaders. He's got close friends. Prayer partners. He's got people in your small groups who many times can speak to you and encourage you, and God will use them to speak directly to you. It's amazing as we come on Wednesday nights in our men's ministry and our women's ministries, as we're breaking up into our small groups and we're talking to each other, that many times in those groups that the person across from you speaks to the other person next to him and doesn't even know what it, and he's like, hey, I was praying about that this week, and what you just said, it really touched me. And God spoke through you that touched him. God will speak through other people many times also. Many times God will speak to you by impressions. God will impress on your heart things. And you say, how do I know if it's of God and it's not of God? Let me give you three ways, okay? Number one, if it's of God, it's good. If it's of the devil, it's bad. If it's of me, it's probably dumb, you know? No, actually, think about it here, okay? God's not going to tell me to go help somebody. I mean, God is going to. The devil's not going to tell me to go help somebody. Who's going to tell me to go help somebody? God is. God's not going to tell me, you know what? You need to sleep in Sunday morning. God's not going to tell me, you need to skip church. God's not going to tell me, No, those are not the thoughts that God's going to give you. God's going to say, hey, I want you and your family to get more involved. I want you to spend more time with your wife. God's going to say, I want you to spend more time with your children. God said, I want you to give to this. I want you to do this. I want you to help somebody here. I want you to begin to worship me more through prayer. I want you to listen to my word. Those are thoughts. And God many times will lead those in our heart, and he will speak to us very clearly in our heart when we learn to yield to him and just be quiet and hear his voice. When God speaks to us, we call it inspiration. When Satan speaks to us, we call it temptation. Okay? Notice the difference. God inspires me. Satan tempts me. Satan tempts me to fail. Satan tempts me to get out of church. Satan tempts me to be a bad spouse. Satan tempts me to withhold my money. Satan tempts me to do all these different things, and God inspires me to do just the opposite. God inspires me to grow my marriage. God inspires me to grow my walk with him. God inspires me to be his witness. God inspires me to give away who I am. Inspiration, deception comes from Satan. All right, John 10:14 says, I am a good shepherd, and I know my own sheep, and they know me, and they listen to my voice. This is such an important verse as a Christian. I am the good shepherd. And I know my own sheep, and they know me, and they listen to my voice. How do I know it's God? If you're a Christian, you're going to know it's God. It says that the sheep, we are the sheep, he is a good shepherd, that when the shepherd speaks, that his sheep recognize his voice. That God will speak to us if we'll listen. And today, if you say, I never hear God, I never hear God at all. And when he does speak, I wouldn't know if he was speaking. Then I just ask you this question, are you really a sheep? Are you really a true sheep? Maybe you've been coming, hanging around some sheep, but have you really entered into the flock and saying, God, I want to be a part of the family of God? Have I really given my life to you? Have I really gave you everything in my life? Have I really made you Lord of my life? Because those people who have made Christ Lord of their life, they will hear his voice. He will direct them. He does speak, and he speaks very clearly many times, sometimes through impressions. Sometimes he speaks through people. Sometimes he speaks through his word. But he will speak and you will hear. Scripture is very clear that he will hear. Christians will hear the voice of the shepherd. The fourth part here is by publicly identifying with him. I express my love to God by publicly identifying with him. When I get married to my wife, I say, honey, all right, we'll communicate. That's no problem. I see that, okay? We're going to get married, and I promise you, I'll talk to you and I'll listen to you. That's no problem. We'll do that every night I come home. We're going to do that. We're going to eat dinner, and we're going to talk, and we're going to communicate. That's great, isn't it? But there's only one thing. When we leave and go out in public, I don't want anybody to know we're married. Okay? So we're always going to drive separate. You're going to have your own thing. I'll do my own thing here, and then we'll just pretend we're not married. But when we get back home, it's okay. When no one's looking, it's all right. What would she say to me? I'd be swimming for that ring at the time. It'd have been in the river. Why? Because no one wants to be married to anybody who's publicly embarrassed of them. You see, in my relationship with God, it becomes the same way. I've got to publicly identify with Christ. I've got to publicly express that he is my Lord, he is my Savior, that I am living for him. This is how I let Christ know that, hey, I mean what I say. I mean, it's all right to be in the house of God, in the home, and say, oh, God, I love you. Oh, God, you're speaking to me. Yeah, I love you too, Lord. It's all easy when we're in the house to praise the Lord. It's really easy when we're in here to read God's word. It's really easy when we're in here to pray. It's really easy in here to sing. But what about when you leave here? What about when you get up tomorrow morning to head to school, to work? We've got to learn to publicly identify with him and let him know we are not ashamed of you, Christ. Now, I'm not a person who believes you should be out there shoving Christianity down everybody's throat. You know, I don't want you standing outside on the street corner. We were down, and my boys and I were a couple weekends ago. We were in Kansas City. I took them downtown to one of the downtown plazas, and we were out there walking around one night, and we just had a good meal. It was great. Anyway, I won't tell you about that because you get hungry. But we were out walking around. And these guys were standing up they had this one intersection, all four corners they had it surrounded. They had two guys passing out tracks, and every corner had a guy out there, and they had one guy standing on top of a fire hydrant in this box, and he was screaming as loud as he could, you're going to hell! Repent, you're going to hell, and this and that, you know. And This guy's passing out. He's right. He's telling the truth. He's telling the truth. I don't care if I do go to jail. Lock me up. You're going to hell. You know, and so my boys are like, Dad, what is going on? You know, I said, it's all right, son. Just come up here. It's all right. I'll take care of you. And I got up there and I said, this boy right here, he needs Jesus. And I pushed my son. I pushed him up. Come here, son. I give him all these tracks, you know. Landon's like, Dad, what are you doing? I quickly got him and took him away. But when we sit down and we talked about it as a family, how did it make you feel? Well, it made me feel kind of uncomfortable. It made me feel like I didn't want to be around. They were shouting, and we talked about it. I said, that's not a good way to express our love for God, is it? We talked about why. And it actually became a good teaching moment. We talked about, you know, how to be a more effective way to express our love for God and let people know. But at the same point, we're not called to go back into seclusion either, okay? We're not called to walk around and not let anybody know we're a Christian. Okay, there comes a time in our life that we publicly identify with Him. And people should know by your lifestyle. They should know by your conversation. They should know by the way you are that you're a Christian, that you love God. And when opportunity arises, that you have the words to say, you know what? I can tell you what I went through. This is how God helped me in my life. I can tell you what happened this last Sunday. You know what my pastor said? I mean, there's ways that you can share your faith that are so creative, and you don't have to be out there thumping people in the head with the Bible and screaming at the top of your lungs. But our everyday actions should just promote that. You know what? I love God, and He has controlled my life. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. I mean, there's a lot of times I make a mistake in public, and I have to go back publicly and apologize and say, you know what, guys, forgive me. Hey, I remember when I was working a secular job, and I was managing a store, and there'd be times I'd lose my cool or I'd do something I didn't like, and I had to call a staff meeting together and say, guys, I'm sorry. I didn't handle the situation very well. You know, and I know God wants me to do better than that. And so I publicly apologize to my employees. It happens sometimes, and we use that, okay? Publicly identify with Him. How do we publicly identify with Him? Let me read you this real fast. Mark 8:38 says, if anyone is ashamed of me and my teachings, then I will be ashamed of him when I come to the glory of my Father. What is God saying? He says, anybody who's ashamed of me on earth, basically when it's time to get to heaven and to sing with the angels and enjoy the mansions and the streets of gold and the gates of pearls, all those good things, anybody who wants to enjoy those things, he goes, but today on earth, they can't identify with me. He goes, they're going to say, you know what? I didn't know who you was. I'm not going to say, enter to the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to say, I don't know who you were. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. He's going to say, I don't know who you was. He's saying, we must identify with him on earth so that we can identify with him later in heaven. Okay? It's an important part of our Christian walk that we identify with him publicly. So how do we publicly identify with him? Besides just being a good witness, there's some very practical ways that we identify. And the first way is communion and baptism here. These two areas. Communion and baptism are a public way that he left for us to really publicly identify with him. We take communion, remembering him, his blood shed for us, his body beaten for us. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on communion today. That's another message for another day. But I do want to talk about water baptism just for a second. That's a day that we've been commanded by Christ to be baptized. We've been commanded to walk in a spirit of baptism. And baptism is such an important symbol of public identification with Christ. Romans 6:3 says, when we went under the water, this is talking about being baptized. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. And when we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace, a new life, a new land. That's what the baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it's like a burial of Jesus. And when we are raised up out of the water, it's like a resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism becomes a public identification of saying, number one, that I believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe in who he is. I believe he died on the cross. I believe he was buried. I believe in 3 days he rose again from the dead. But it also becomes a symbol of what? Of us burying our old man and coming up anew. And we do it publicly. Why? Because it becomes a public identification. I am identifying with him. Christ was baptized at the age of 30, approximately. He publicly was baptized in public. And he said this, that, hey, I'm doing this, so should you also do this. He didn't just command us to do this. He led by example. If anybody did not need to be baptized, it was Jesus Christ. He was the only one, Scripture says, has ever lived a perfect life. But yet, he was baptized. Because he wanted us to lead by example. He wanted us to publicly identify with him. So today, I ask you this question. Why haven't you been publicly baptized? If you've never been baptized before, why haven't you? Maybe you've been putting it off. Maybe you've been thinking that, you know, I would like to, Pastor, but I don't know. I don't like getting in front of people. I don't like getting in front of crowds. I would, Pastor, but you know what? I don't want to mess my hair up, get wet. It's just a hassle. And I say those excuses are not good enough. Because there comes a time in your life when you need to humble yourself and say, God, I just want to identify with who you are. I want to be water baptized as you commanded me to be. It's an important thing that we be publicly baptized. When we're baptized, we're saying, I die to my old ways of life. It's a public statement that's saying, I die to my old man. I'm going to live for Christ. I am forgiven. My sins are forgotten. They're being buried. I'm coming out a brand new man. I'm identifying who Christ is in my life. It symbolizes this. And so the question is, why don't we? And I want to ask you today, if you've never been baptized before, if you've never been baptized, and say, Pastor, I want to be baptized, we're going to do a baptism on September 23rd. We're going to do a baptism right here in the middle of our service, and it's going to be a great, exciting time. I invite you, let me know that you want to be baptized. We'll put you on the list. I have a sermon for you. We'll get that to you. I have a whole sermon on being baptized that I preached about a year ago, and it explains baptism in a much greater detailed way and why we should be baptized and what baptism actually means. I want to give that to you free today if you're going to think about being baptized. Let you listen to that and get that teaching. But I ask you today, if you have not been baptized, September 23rd, be a part of that baptism service. Come. I want to baptize you. We had a lot of people who did it last time we did that, and I can see a change in their life. And I know that today that for many of you, you've been thinking about baptism. Some of you here, you're baptized maybe as a baby, or you're baptized as a youth. I remember one time when I was baptized, I was at a church camp with my parents, and they were counselors at this church camp, youth camp, and all the teenagers were being baptized, and I was just barely old enough to be there walking, and I wanted to be baptized because they were in the river. I wanted to be in the river, and so I got baptized with them, and that was all good. I'm not saying that was bad, but there came a time in my young adult life when I really had an understanding what baptism means. And I really had an understanding of what my life meant. And I was choosing to live for Christ in a way I never had before. And I said, you know what? I want to be baptized again. And I did it because I was making an adult decision. Because I was at an age of accountability where I really understood more what I was doing. And maybe that's you today. Maybe some of you were baptized as a kid. And today, as you think about it, you think, you know what? I remember doing that because maybe I did it because other people were doing it. Or my parents made me do it. You know, maybe, and there's nothing wrong with baptizing children who are at the age of knowing what they're doing, okay? I'm not against it at all. But I'm just saying that maybe in your life that you did at a young age, and today you say, you know what, I want to make a public identification, even as an adult, and say I want to be baptized. Make sure you let me know. We'll get you on that list, okay? Number 5, I show my love to him by being committed to him. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says that God is looking for people whose hearts are fully committed to him, that he can bless and he can use. God is looking for people he can bless and use who are fully committed to him. Let me say this to you right now in closing, that nothing great ever happens without commitment. Nothing great or significant ever happens without commitment. That we got to have commitment to be great and have great things happen. It goes hand in hand with commitments. We believe here in Destiny Church and being committed. That's why our values and our bulletin, you see things in there talking about being committed, about giving my life to God. We committed by what? I give my heart to God. I'm committed by committing my life to a church family, to the family of God. I get committed by choosing to grow spiritually in my walk with Jesus Christ. I'm committed by using my talents and joining the team of believers and saying, I want to use my talents to help reach people for Jesus. By sharing the good news of other people, by discovering my God-given destiny, that God wants to use me in my life. We get committed by being fully committed to him. Every area of our life should be fully committed to him. And the last thing here, number 6, by giving to him. We express our love to God by giving to him. Giving him our heart, giving him our life, giving him everything we are. You spell love, G-I-V-E. Let me spell it again. We spell love, what? G-I-V-E. I spell love by give. Christ so loved the world. What happened? That God so loved the world that he did what? God so loved the world that he gave. One of the first scriptures we learned as a kid, John 3:16. That God so loved the world that he gave. And to express our love to God, we got to learn to be people who give. We give of our time, we give of our talent, and we give of our treasure to the Lord. We give. Don't just tell me that you love me. My wife isn't one of this here that I love her. She wants me to give to her that I love her. My give what? My time. My communication. I give to her everything I am. I give to her. And that lets her know that I love her. If I just say I love you, but I never give her anything, she'll say, yeah, whatever. You say you love me, but. See, we got to back it up and say, God, I love you. Lord, we love you. We say it this morning. Lord, we sing to you. Lord, we love you. But when I leave here today, how does my life give you glory? How does my life give to you? We give to God everything we are. 2 Corinthians 8 says, just as you excel in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and in complete earnestness, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love. God asks us to give of our tithe, of our treasure, of our time, our talent. Why does he do that? Because he wants to test the sincerity of our love for him. That when I bring to him my tithe and offering and give to him, I am saying, God, I love you. I'm just not speaking it, but I'm putting my money where my mouth is. When I spend time communicating with him throughout the day, I'm not just saying to God, I love you. I'm letting him know that, God, I love you enough to share what's going on in my heart. When I listen to him, I love you enough to hear the wisdom of your Holy Spirit. Learn to give it out. Learn to give it out. Learn to give it out. Listen, there's God gives a spirit of what? God's love is what? A spirit of giving. Satan was kicked out of heaven because he had a spirit of what? Of pride. He had a miser spirit. He wanted all the praise for himself. He was stingy. God doesn't get any. I deserve it all. And so this is the spirit that he carried. And so when we are stingy and don't give God our tithe and our offering, we don't give God our talent, we can't serve God because we're too busy, we can't attend church, because we got all these things going on. When it's all about me, what I can do, I'm taking on what's whose spirit? That's not God's spirit. That's the spirit of Lucifer. That's the spirit of stinginess. That's where it was created. I want mine. This is mine. But when I give to God, I'm taking on his spirit. God, you first gave, and I want to show the example. I'm going to give away my life to you. I'm going to give you everything I am. I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you what you've given me. I'm going to prove my love to you. I give to you. I'm going to operate in your spirit today. So I ask yourself today, as you look back over these six things, where do you line up? Where are you falling in your expression to your love to God? Are you just giving it mouth service, or are you giving it heart service? Are you growing in your relationship with God? I want you to grow, that you learn to become a worshiper every day of your life, that you're learning what it means to grow in your worship time with God. And it means this right here, that I've learned to express my love for him. Wow, we serve that kind of God, that he longs to have us express our love for him. Let's bow our heads. Father, we love you today. And God, as we love you today, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for every person here. God, I thank you for their heart of worship this morning, that they were here to worship you. And Father, I just praise you right now, God, that you are an awesome God and what you've been doing in our midst. With every head bowed, I just want to ask you this question. If you're here today as a pastor, as you're talking about God's love for us and my love for him, I realize that, first of all, that I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And today, before I go any further, I just want to say that I want to accept Jesus Christ into my life, into my heart. I want to make him Lord of my life. Maybe you've never prayed that prayer before, or maybe you have prayed that prayer in the past, but you found yourself living far, far away from him. You wasn't serving him. You wasn't doing what he asked you to do. And today you say, I want to come back. I want to renew my commitment to Christ. If that's you, I'm not going to embarrass you. No one's looking but me. Can you just raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor? I want to pray that prayer, and I want to accept Jesus Christ into my life today. I want to renew my commitment to him. If you're here today, can you raise your hand? Nobody's looking but me. I want to make sure you have that chance to make that decision today. The second question I have for you today, so talking about expressing your love to God, you say, Pastor, as you're talking, I realize that even though I say that I love God, that maybe I've been falling short of my expression of love for him daily. And today the message is challenging me to learn to express daily and express more my love for him. And maybe today that I come to a situation where I didn't know how to express love in a good way. And it's hard for me. And I admit that today that's hard for me. But today I'm determined in my heart that I'm going to learn what it means to express my love to God even more every day. Can you raise your hand if God was speaking to you today? I thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lots of hands. Anywhere else today? You said to me, thank you. Lots of hands today. Anybody else today? You just say, God's speaking to me today. Yeah. Thanks. Being honest. Thank you. This is good. The Holy Spirit's just moving in your life right now. He's speaking to you. See, as we're quiet, His Holy Spirit speaks to us. Anybody else today? You want to raise your hand and say, Pastor, that was me. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. I'm going to pray this closing prayer over you. I believe we're going to grow in our relationship with Him. It's one of our core values of who we are. And it comes as we learn to express. I grow in my relationship with my spouse as I learn to express my love for her. I grow in my relationship with God as I learn to express to God, I love you. I was created as the object of your affection, and I need to learn to love you back. Father, I love you today. And Lord, I thank you for every hand that was raised today. Every person who said, Father, they want to grow in their relationship with you. God, I pray, Lord, and ask you, Lord, to teach us, Lord, to express our love to you on a daily basis, publicly identifying with you, not ashamed of you, what others may think, but God, may we identify with you publicly, Lord. Lord, today, may we learn to express through song, through words, through communication, through listening. And we learn, God, to identify with you, God. May we learn to give to you with our love for you today. God, I come against, Lord, any person here today, Lord, who's had ties, Lord, in their life, Lord, who have come up in homes that were non-expressive in their love. Father, I pray that chain may be broken in Jesus' name. God, may there be a new expression of love that flows freely in their marriage, in their children, God, and most of all in their relationship with you. God, may we be free, Lord, today to express that we love you, Lord, and to receive, Lord, the love of the Father from you. In Jesus' name we pray and we ask and we say together, amen and amen. God bless you today. Hug a neck before you leave. Shake a neck before you leave. God bless you. Have a great week.